without realizing, every one of us has a personal brand, whether we know it or not. If we know it, we're conscious of it. If we don't know it unconsciously, others are deciding for us what we are known for. This is nothing new. That thing that we want to be known for, it is already happening. But the thing about personal brand is you don't know you're doing it when you're doing it, but you're not going to be like, oh, what's your agenda today, Brad? I'm going to work on my personal brand. It's not how it works. It's a little bit that you do over a period of time, and you're known for that.
Welcome to the Standout Business Show, where it's all about making a bigger difference by doing business differently. I'm Brad Powell, and today we are asking the question, why personal brands aren't just for CEOs. Just a couple of weeks ago, I saw this post on LinkedIn, and it's written by this guy named Nat Berman, who's one of the top, more influential voices on the platform. And he was making these predictions. And this first prediction he made was saying, there's going to be an explosion in personal brands. And this is what he said. I'm going to actually quote him. He said, most of the CEOs, founders, and entrepreneurs who've been sitting on the sidelines won't be doing this any longer. They're going to realize how important it is to be known for more than just their jobs. But this is the part that he said that I thought was very critical for today's conversation. He said, they'll also be looking at other personal brands as a form of resume. So think about that for a minute. I mean, if this plays out, then in order to stand out and to ensure your success in the future, every one of us, you, me, all of us, need to be developing our personal brands. To help us explore all of this, like answering the question, developing your personal brand is not just a good idea, but actually vital to your career path, I invited not one, but two career coaches, Sonal Ball and Ashley Pare, onto the show. So Sonal is a career strategist. She's founder of Supercharge Yourself, and she developed her personal brand via a successful YouTube channel. There's something like 145,000 subscribers there. Plus, she's been doing this weekly LinkedIn live stream series every Friday. And our second guest, Ashley Pare, is a leadership coach for professional women. She's founder of Own Your Worth and the Worthy Women's Collective. And she's grown her personal brand through public speaking, including her TED Talk or TEDx Talk, which is called How to Have Your Cake and Negotiate Too. So stay tuned. We're going to tune up your personal brand today. And with that, let's start the show. All right. Ashley and Sonal, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you.
All right. Well, to start this off, I described some of the landscape. I saw this post on LinkedIn and I just went, oh my gosh, let's pay attention. So let's start with you, Sonal. What do you see when you look out on the landscape and the importance or lack thereof of whether or not people should be thinking about, do I need to do something around my own personal brand and my own way of appearing online?
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic question. Firstly, thank you for having me back. Such an honor, Brad. The thing with personal brand, it almost makes me giggle at how cringeworthy some people think it is. Without realizing that every one of us has a personal brand, whether we know it or not. If we know it, we're conscious of it. If we don't know it unconsciously, others are deciding for us what we are known for. That's the first thing. The second, this is nothing new. It feels like we've been talking about this for the last couple of years, but having a personal brand is from the times of kings and queens, right? They were known for something. They were like, I'm going to be the one that invades India. I'm going to be the one that, you know, will be known for being the kindest, most gentle king or queen. The first time I want to say that I thought about a personal brand was 2011. And a friend of mine who worked in fashion in New York and Toronto decided to move back to India with her family. And it was a giant shift for them. They decided to do it for the kids. It was very difficult, the adjustment. And one thing she realized that she loved to do when she wasn't thinking about work was baking cakes. And she became really, really good at it. And she was like, Sonal, you know, I said, what's your dream? What do you want to do with this? What's exciting for you? She's like, Sonal, I just want to be known as the confectionery queen of Delhi. I was like, wow. So that thing that we want to be known for, it is already happening. But the thing about personal brand is you don't know you're doing it when you're doing it. So, you know, Ashley and I will probably be sharing some frameworks today, but you're not going to be like, oh, what's your agenda today, Brad? I'm going to work on my personal brand. It's not how it works, right? It's a little bit that you do over a period of time and you're known for that. So that's what I wanted to say. It's nothing new. We all have it, whether we realize it or not. And we want to be able to control that narrative. And hopefully we'll help the viewers with that today.
Yeah, I like that quite a lot. So personal brand, we're going to have one whether we know it or not. And I think the perspective is that we only have so much control over what our personal brand is. I mean, and I'm going to speak as a parent. And one of the things that I learned early on is that as a dad, I don't have that much control over what I'm going to be remembered for by my children. Like, they're going to have their own idea of who I am and what I was like and what it was like to have me as their father. But one thing that I did that I worked on really hard was that every Sunday I made waffles. And I really took on this thing. It was like, well, if there's one thing that I can influence is that they're going to remember that we had waffles. And I sort of see that as a metaphor for, like, yeah, what you were saying about I'm going to be known as the most benevolent, you know, king or queen of the realm.
Yeah, because then, you know, when we say that out loud, our actions will follow it, because otherwise it's not congruent to say something and then do something else, which is unfortunately what a lot of politicians are known for in the world we live in.
All right. Well, Ashley, what do you see when you look out at the landscape and people who are either thinking about or trying to hone their personal brand?
Well, we, as Sonal said, we have one, whether or not we know it or not, because we are alive. We're a human being, and we make an impact in our families, in our jobs, at work, right? And it's kind of like when you walk into a room and people can feel your energy before you say anything. Your personal brand kind of extends you as well, based on the relationships you've built, the network you have, and how you conduct yourself on a regular basis. And yes, if we look at, you know, social media or politicians, there might be some crazy outlying thing that ends up developing somebody's personal brand or what they're known for. And maybe that's where the no, right, bad news is good news, that saying that there's no negative news comes from. But I think in terms of growing your career, people don't just submit a resume anymore to get a job, right? We need to be very clear on who we are and where we're taking ourselves, how we want to grow, how we have grown and invested in ourselves, and how we can make an impact pretty quickly. And if we're not able to articulate that, to me, it's about finding out what your personal brand is by polling people who know you, who have worked with you, who you maybe trust, and then deciding, ooh, is that the personal brand that I believe or I desire to be out there? Like, do I even know that's what I'm showing up as? I have my clients poll people and ask them to share, you know, 5 to 7 adjectives of the first words that when a client of mine says, what are the first 5 things or 5 words that come to mind when you think of me, right? That gives them a bucket of words and adjectives that describe them. And for many of them, it's an eye-opening experience and process because they don't know how they've been seen or recognized, and then they can do something about it. Or they find out, ooh, confidence is missing. I didn't get the confidence back, and that's how I want to be perceived. So I'm going to work on that. So this is something that just as you write and type out a resume, you have to be aware of the impact you're making. You have to be aware of how other people are perceiving you, your energy, your words, your commitments. And we need to be able to ask sometimes because we don't know how we're being perceived.
Yeah. Well, one interesting part of this is that I was having a quite a fascinating conversation just last week with a woman named Pamela Slim. She was my guest on the show. And what we talked about during the episode was something that she calls lighting your beacon. And I think this relates really closely to developing a personal brand from the point of view of when people are, you know, looking you over for in whatever reason that they're doing that, you want to develop a place or an experience for them where they can go deep into your body of work. This was her phrase, and deep into like what you stand for and what you believe in and basically the whole of who you are. And both of you have done this in kind of separate ways. But, you know, Sonal, for instance, you've developed a beacon that is your YouTube channel. And you've developed a second beacon, which is the weekly Friday morning live series that you do. And so talk a little bit about that experience and what you're doing there and as it relates to your own personal brand and what other people could be thinking about doing for themselves.
Yeah. I love this topic because, Brad, if you bring on 10 guests to the show, you're going to get 10 different definitions on the personal brand. And it's not an easy journey. So just to go back to that YouTube example, right? I have like something like, almost 200 videos up there. I remember when I started the YouTube channel back in 2018, I was kind of lost in my career and I was figuring things out and I didn't realize I would be a career coach or whatever. And I thought I have learned all this, so much knowledge over a period of time and all this wisdom. And what am I going to do with it? Having lived across cultures, it's been such a privilege. Maybe there's people who are as lost as I am and need help. So I started putting these videos out. My dad called me when the first video was released because I, you know, shared it on Facebook or shared it with all my friends and family. They were so excited. And I had like 600 views of the first video. And after that, it completely, you know, like 10 views, 5 views. But the point is, my dad was like, what are you doing this for? What is this about? How is this going to make you any money? Because my dad's very practical, thinking about career, thinking about income. And I love that because, you know, somebody should be, right? And I was like, Papa, I don't know. I do know it feels good and the outcome will speak for itself. I don't know where I had that wisdom from at 39. And showing up every, going back to this example, showing up every Friday, it's a promise I made to myself and to whoever wants to join. I've been doing this, what is it now? In 1 week or 2 weeks, it's going to be 200 Fridays that I've been doing this. And I'm so proud of it. But, you know, it has never been about that money. So I think it comes down to when you talk about your personal brand, you know, that Simon Sinek why, the TEDx, everyone's watched the TED Talk, everyone's read the book. But when you practice your why, because one of my whys is democratizing access to, you know, good quality career advice. And I do consider myself a good quality person because of life experiences and mistakes I've made. And I think I can help people avoid that. And I think it's one of the reasons why, Ashley, you probably do what you do as well. And this is for people who don't have access to coaching, don't have access to courses, whether it's a 99 euro course or a 257 euro. It's a lot of money for some people in some parts of the world. So not everything is, you know, from the lens of I live in Europe or I live in the United States. Just like, this is my way of helping that, whether it's one person watching or 100 people watching, I don't care. I'm going to show up. So through that carries you combined with your values. It's all part of your personal brand. So it's one of the things I want to be known for. So I love that, Ashley. I also do the poll and I recommend this to my clients as well. What are the two, three things that you want to be known for? So the framework, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll talk about the framework in a bit. But kind of I don't even remember what your question was, Brad. I'm sorry. I hope this kind of helps.
Well, I think I was asking you to describe your experience and what's going on with the channels that you develop, which I think you did, you know, really eloquently. That's awesome. And the thing takeaway that I'm getting is that you were doing this not for yourself as much as for the audience that you were reaching. And with that mindset.
Yes, let's be honest. When we say these things, you know, I do feel very nice and I feel like Mother Teresa. But, you know, at the end of the day, we do want to earn. We do want to take care of our family. I do want to see my, you know, my own parents chill out in their retirement. I want to go on a cruise with them. Guess what? These things cost money. And you're doing all these things and it's not bringing in income. It's, you know, so that long-term game, that long game is not an easy, you know, ride without its share of obstacles. So we can say all this. I do say it and I mean it. But it's not for the faint of heart, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, Ashley, talk about your personal brand building. And like, I know that you've been doing not just the TEDx thing, but the other public speaking opportunities that you've been looking for. So, you know, what has that been like? And what have you felt like it's been doing around your own personal brand and or inspiring other women like yourself?
Yeah, I know, having worked in human resources for so many years, that it was hard for me to show up as my whole full self at work, because I felt like I had a job to do and I had to walk the line. And there were a lot of preconceived notions about who I should be since I worked in HR. And so I struggled with that for a while until, you know, I realized that I needed a shift. And my purpose, even getting into HR, was to help people, to make work more interesting, more safe, more exciting, and clear for people to navigate. Because even having been in HR, I struggled to self-advocate. I struggled to grow my career. And I knew I had the rule book. I had the privilege of access to salary data. So for me, it really just started as a need to share my wisdom as well, but to try to make a change and make a bigger impact than I felt I was able to make internally at one organization. So I started teaching salary negotiation workshops, and it was scary to like speak my truth and to share my knowledge in that way for the first time, because I felt like I was breaking rules. And as I work with clients now, like having the courage to share our truth, to acknowledge what we really desire or want or dream of, or what we're good at, or that we love baking, or whatever our thing is, like, it's okay to bring that portion or part of ourselves into work. And it actually makes us more relatable. And if we can be vulnerable around it, right, it's going to help us be a better leader. And so I think from a personal brand perspective, I've given myself permission to be more honest and share my wins and share my failures, because it can be really hard, especially for women, to think about our direct needs and ask for what we need. And I think that's part of our personal brand, is not just helping others, but how do we help ourselves so we can then give back to others in a way that lifts us up and serves us. So from a personal branding perspective, I started speaking out of this desire that I needed to like unveil this HR curtain and make a positive shift and help women negotiate. And that has just grown into me really finding my passion and my purpose. And speaking is, I think, just a way that I've found resonates with most people. Some people it's writing, some people it's speaking, or there's other ways, but any opportunity I get to share, I will. And that has grown into a way for people to find me or connect with me. And so perhaps it's baking, perhaps it's running, right? But when you put at the bottom of your resume, like, about me, I remember, you know, reading that being HR, and it was always the different or non-traditional things that got someone's attention. So I think we just need to not be afraid to be all of who we are and use that to fill our cups. And even if we can't do that in our day job, it's how do we talk about it, or how do we connect with other people at work to make us feel that we are going to be recognized for all of who we are, not just what we do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a really key point around bringing your personality to like what you're about and what you're doing. And there's so many in my world, because I help people do video, when people get on camera, the opposite of themselves is what usually shows up. Like they go, oh, I'm on camera. Now I have to be serious, mm-hmm. or I have to look a certain way. And I heard, I had a comment from a client who was saying, you know, the more I try to look professional, the more I become invisible. And I thought, oh, that's so striking. And it's so true. And it's just about like people, you know, there is this thing called the pratfall effect, which is that if you like slip on a banana peel or you spill your coffee, you know, and or whatever you do, that's the part that people will see at make you relatable. They go, oh, this person is a human being like me. I would have done something just like that. And there's actually been studies shown that, you know, when they show a video of somebody doing something super smart, they don't think that person is very likable. But when they show that same person and at the end they do something like spill their coffee in their lap, they go, oh yeah, I like this person much more now. And so this, I mean, you're totally right on with that. So let's move the conversation into a more practical thing. Sonal, you were mentioning frameworks. So let's dive in to, if I'm wanting to think about, okay, now from today going forward, even though I know I can't control my personal brand completely, I won't know how people will take me. What are the steps and or what's the frame around which I can be operating that will help me in making my becoming known for what I want to be known for?
Yeah, absolutely. You said, I think the operative word is control. That's one thing we can't control completely. We cannot control anything completely. We can control to some extent how we are perceived. I have this three-step very simple framework. I call it my ART framework, A-R-T. So the A in ART is literally the art of differentiation. There's 10 marketing directors. There's 10 vice presidents in finance that do what I do. How am I different? And so many things that Ashley talked about already help illustrate that. What are the things that make you different? Is it just, you know, the fact that you are a good predictor and good, you know, analytics on how things are going to show up. But you're also this wizard with Microsoft Excel. Let's hone in there. Let's own our inner geekiness, whatever that looks like. That art of differentiation, I love this term. It was coined by a guy called David Breyer, who's based in Chicago. And he has written this whole book on personal branding. And the second thing is the reputation, and we talked about that earlier, right? It's nothing new. Reputation's been there since the, you know, dawn of time. What is that reputation that you have? So, and the third in the T art framework is top of mind awareness. So just going back to that example of this friend of mine, the reputation she wanted was, okay. Top of mind awareness was confectionery. I will think of sugar blossom. Sugar blossom, I think that's what she calls it on Instagram. And the reputation was, it's upper end, you know, high scale. I can't afford her cakes. Like, she'll give it as a gift, but there's no way I'm getting those cakes for my kids' birthdays. It's too much. But that was the thing that made her different. So we need to think about this really well. And don't be afraid to get dirty and roll up your sleeves. One of the things that I did when I did this survey for myself was how is it perceived? So what do I want to be known for? And also one of the things that makes me different. And one of the things that I realized very quickly, even in my school days, maybe some of you can relate, a strength of mine, which I realized was I loved making people laugh. I was the class clown. And I realized the sense of humor is an asset. When I leverage it and I wield it, timing is everything, right? So just going back to that example, Brad, that you were sharing about when people screw up and they mess up on screen. A few months ago, I was doing my LinkedIn Live. Every Friday I do it. And I was like, oh, I've been sitting all day in my butt. I'm going to go out and take a walk. So I took my handy little tripod with my phone and I was live streaming. Everything was great. And I got tired. I stood in front of my house. I had the tripod and I just turned it and I continued to talk. I did not realize for 7 minutes straight, I was on mute. Okay. Oh. So I was yak for 7 minutes. And at that time when you're live, and by mistake, if you clicked mute, and by mistake, if you click full screen, you're not seeing the comments. Because there was one question that got me riled up, and I think it was salary negotiation, actually, because I'm a big fan of, especially for women. I completely was on my own. Like, so people were like, oh God. And they didn't log off because they were like, when is she going to figure it out? It's going to be really funny. It was funny. And I laughed it off. You know, the thing is also, the thing when you work on your personal brand is you need to take yourself a little bit less seriously. So this is a three-step framework, the art of differentiation. What is the reputation you want to be known for? What is the top of mind awareness? I have other more practical, tactical ways, but I do want you to, you know, continue with Ashley and we can come back.
Okay. Yeah, that was great. That's a really, that's definitely a kind of a golden nugget. Write it down, ART, on top of mind. What's your reputation? All right, Ashley, how would you frame this up? And what would you like to add to what Sunil just said?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that art approach. And I will add my framework, which is more of coming first, having clarity for yourself, right? And not only owning your worth, but for my three steps or my framework includes owning your worth, owning your impact, and owning your courage. See, if you own your worth and know what your worth is inherently, that your self-worth is inherent to who you are and separate from your market value or anything else that you're defining yourself by, like external validation, that gives you permission to really get clear on what you want. A lot of folks have been asking me lately, like, I feel like I'm a generalist. I'm not an expert in anything, right? Because a lot of people have worked in startups. We're scrappy. We're wearing many hats and we feel like we're supposed to be this expert. And that isn't true. But if you can get clear on what is valuable to you and why you're worthy of belonging, worthy of being seen, worthy of sharing your experience, whether you're an expert or not, that's step one to giving yourself permission to be all of who you are, which is what you're going to be known for in the end. And owning your impact, being very clear on your growth, your trajectory, your mistakes, your failures, your learning lessons, right? We need to be able to articulate our value, know how we make a contribution and how it is differentiated from others with similar titles, right? And if we are owning our worth, it is much easier to identify the impact or the contribution we make. And lastly, it's owning your courage. So being willing to put yourself out there, being willing to take risks, being willing to ask for help. We need to be able to take courageous action in our lives to not only reach our goals and our dreams, but to make an impact, but to be able to separate ourselves and have more opportunity to grow, have more opportunity to receive. If we need help, there's so many people who want to help you if you just ask. So having that courage to stand up for what you believe in and ask for what you need, again, makes you human and relatable and is going to put you in that position of being a leader. Because you lead yourself, you will inspire others and help them become their best selves. And to me, being a self leader is the best type of personal brand or person you can be.
Yeah, well, a couple of things you just said there, I just want to underline this. In the realm of courage, finding your courage, you know, people, whether you're hired for a job or you're running your own business, the mindset is, well, I should know what I'm doing. Like, I want people to think that I know what I'm doing, which means that we're afraid to ask for help. We're afraid to go to someone when we're at a point where we go, oh my gosh, I don't know the answer to this question. Like, I don't know how to solve this problem. And it does take courage to reach out to people and say, hey, can you help me with this? This is something that I'm looking to solve. And I think this is particularly true when you're talking about, you know, from personal brand and speaking to an audience of any kind. Ask your audience. Like, it takes courage to get in front of an audience and say, well, I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know how to, like, I'm at a place where I'm trying to figure something out. And this is, it's very similar to the pratfall thing. Like, people respond so positively when you show up like that.
Yeah. I just want to add something here, Brad, to what Ashley said, and courage and worth. And, you know, I like how you perceived it when you said courage, the way I perceived it when she said it was also have the courage to own your worth together. And I'll give you a very simple example. I was working with a client this week and we were talking about themes because these themes are part of the brand and they should be highlighted on the resume. Everybody in the group talked about their themes. When it came to her, she mentioned those three themes. And I said, hey, sweetheart, there's one thing missing. And she said, what's that? I said, you went to Harvard Medical School. She was like, yeah. I was like, what's up with that? You know? So it kind of needs to be front and center. You want to milk that education, right? And you, it's a stamp of credibility, stamp of approval. So for me, Brad, just, you know, unsolicited, the way I look at you is video guy who did some amazing stuff in National Geographic. You may not see it that way, right? But the point is, if you don't, I'll do it for you. But it's a cool thing. So it's about, if we like that narrative, we want to keep repeating because repetition builds reputation. And if something is working, we need to keep doing it. If it's not, the good thing is we can experiment. It's not, you know, fixed. Our brands are not fixed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's actually probably a really good note for us to be coming in for a landing on because we're right at the end of our time here. But for both of you, if there's like just one other thing that you'd like to say to put a bow on this conversation, Ashley, we'll start with you. What would that be?
It is to own your story so that way you can express it. Own your story, express it without fear, without shame. And if I'm just thinking, Sonal, of your client who was about the Harvard Medical, if there's something about your story you don't like, change it. Change the narrative. Tell a different story. Tell a learning lesson. Like shift it. Make peace with it and use it to support you and where you want to go. The past is the past. So leverage who you are now and who you want to be in the future to create your ideal life.
All right. Sonal, any last words?
Yeah, I would say just two things when, you know, setting out on this journey. First is remove your ego from this process. It's not going to like the whole personal branding journey because it wants to keep you comfortable and safe where you are. And I can't stress how important this is because as a business owner, because, you know, Brad, you said your audience tends to be business owners. We want to look at the return on investment on the time it takes to build a personal brand. Look at the vanity, how many likes. It isn't about that. So keep that ego out of it. The second thing I'm going to say is don't overthink it. You're thinking about a certain brand for yourself. Chances are someone else has already done it and done it really well. Figure it out. Yes, you're unique, but it's not such a unique thing that it's never been done before. You know, consistency and persistence. Don't overthink it. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right. That's beautiful. It's totally not a sprint. All right. Well, okay. One at a time, really quickly. If people want to hook up with you, Ashley, and they're inspired and they're thinking, well, I want to own my worth, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yes. Connect with me. Follow me on LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a message, Ashley Perret, or folks can visit my website and find the Worthy Women's Collective there and other resources. So it's ownyourworth.com.
All right. And Sonal, what's the best way?
Same thing.
Yeah, LinkedIn?
Yeah, same. LinkedIn is good. My website, I'm not very proud of it. I need to work on it. Superchargeyourself.com. It's there. You know, it gets stepchild treatment, but it's mostly LinkedIn where I am more regular.
Right. Well, I'll just, yeah, I mean, LinkedIn, we're going live on LinkedIn right now. And it's definitely how I reach out to both of you and how I reach out to pretty much everybody who comes on the show. So I'll make sure that links to both of you are in the show notes when we're done. And thank you both so much for coming on today. This has really been great.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for having us.
I just want to remind you that if you'd like to go and get the entire archive of the Standout Business Show, just go to standoutbusiness.show. It's all there. All the audio, all the video, all the show notes, all the extra little things that are included, and you can binge to your heart's content. We go live every now Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And until the next time, so long.